love is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. When the shadows of this life is gone, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars unshown, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where God, where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
Thank you, Kayla. That song said hallelujah by and by. We can have hallelujah right now. Amen. Old song says, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done.
Amen.
Amen. I'll get our speaker to come, and if y'all want to sing, y'all come right on. All right, they're shaking their heads, no? But good to have Eric with us here this morning. And I ask that you give him the attention you give me. As he opens the Word of God, shares what's in his heart this morning. I appreciate him coming. I don't know how far he drove, but good to have him here this morning. Russell County. May not have come as far as I did. This little old recorder right here, we'll put this thing on there and let other people hear what you say, brother. They put you on the spot, but we got a lot of people listening. Here's your bottle of water.
Oh, no, I guess I'm going to be surfing the internet now, huh?
Yeah.
Brother Wade, thank you so much for being so welcoming us to us today. We appreciate it. Yeah. It's been a great Sunday school this morning. Learned a lot. It's always great to be in the presence of the Lord and learning more and more as you go on every day. I am Eric Pickett, as you just said, with the Gideons. If I can get to my notes here. First off, I want to begin with a story, and I call it the Strange Black Book. A man was visiting from Russia, and he was staying in a hotel room in New York City, and he was there on vacation, and then he came across a book in his hotel room, and he thought, that would be a great souvenir to take home with me. He's not a Christian, but obviously you can figure this out. It was a Gideon Bible that he took home with him. Took it home with him. He had a granddaughter by the name of Marcia. Marcia would come to him growing up as a little girl and ask him what it was. See, him not being a believer, he would just shun her away and never ever tell her what it was. But he kept it as a souvenir. But Marcia grew up and knowing this book and seeing it was always curious about it. Until she went and she grew up and went to school and started to learn to speak English. While she did that, she came across other Christians. And she noticed their demeanor. She knows how happy they were in their life.
Amen.
So she went home and picked up that Bible after learning how to speak English, and therefore on, her life was changed.
Amen.
I am Eric Pickett on behalf of the Gideons. The Gideons are a Christian business professional men's association that began in 1899. We are good members of churches just like yourselves. All we do is serve as extended outreach that hopefully that we can put scriptures in people's hands that it might change their lives.
Amen.
By just having the Bible. We learn in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word go forth out of my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish for which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing into where I sent it.
Amen.
Since the first Bible was distributed over 100 years ago by some Gideons in a hotel room in Montana, the Gideons have, to this date, distributed over 1.6 billion copies throughout the world. Now, the New Testament in over 196 countries. Actually, 197 now. We just added another country.
Amen.
One of these countries, though, is India. India composes about 17% of the world's population, or about 1.2 billion people. But only 5.8% of that population are Christians. They're considered second-class citizens. They're shunned just because of their belief. Amen. Last year, Gideons were able to distribute over 11 million copies
Amen.
Of the Scripture to people in India. But our ministry doesn't just go to foreign countries. It serves our country here in America.
Yeah.
Terry Reffitt was a man that was impacted by the Gideons. He was learning to do architecture in Milwaukee and staying at YMCA, where he came across the Gideon Bible. He said as he kept on with his studies, the Gideon Bible kept on being in his presence. There, after a while, as it spoke to him, he decided to turn his life over to God and became a minister. He returned to Harrison County, Kentucky, where now he serves as a minister of Bowman United Methodist Church.
Amen.
As you know, Gideon's, what we do is pass out Bibles. There are several different type of Bibles that we pass out. Many of you have probably seen the ones in the hotel rooms. The hotel Bible, it costs approximately Gideon's $5 to produce it. Over the lifespan, it will serve 2,300 people.
Amen.
It will have that much impact. They approximately 6 years until they're replaced. After we get these back, the covers are stripped off of them, and they're put a soft cover on them, and then they're distributed into prisons and other detention facilities.
Amen.
So they can reach more people. Also, you may know the little Bibles, the small ones. The auxiliary, which is composes of the women, hand out the little Bibles like this to the nursing homes and also the medical facilities. A unique story I have about this little blue Bible was at our Sunday school one time, a little girl was interested by the little Bible, but she wanted to know if I had pink. We don't have a pink Bible to get it yet. But I had one of these. And I came back the next day. Really, honestly, the women in the auxiliary, we try to, you know, have our own responsibilities, and we try to, you know, to give them opportunity. But I didn't think it was such a shame to give her a little blue Bible like this. I wanted you to know, about a year later in my job, I came across this lady, this little girl. She'd probably grown maybe, obviously, about a year or two. And when I was in there talking to her parent, here she was carrying this little Bible around.
Amen.
She made her own little cover to go on it. But I thought to myself, what a great little toy.
Yeah.
If your toy could be a Bible growing up, there's not, you know, too many worse things out there in life.
Amen.
We also do a brown Bible. This will Gideon's carry around in normal day life in their own walks.
Mm-hmm.
We purchase them out of our own pocket to hand out to the people we come across, and maybe that it will impact some people's lives. We talked about the school. This is our school one that we hand out. It's new. It used to be red, and they kind of changed the cover around. Brother Wade was talking about the school scriptures. It's becoming more and more of an issue nowadays. The ACLU, which is the Christian Faith's favorite organization, I think, sometimes, they have sued over the Gideons passing out scriptures in schools. I didn't think it would come to Russell County where we wouldn't be able to handle that scriptures, but it's come to that where we can only set them on tables and the kids can only come up and get them. The Gideons never were a in-your-face type ministry. Okay? We simply hold Bibles and hopefully give to people and answer questions if they ask us. And hopefully they'll change people's lives. You were talking about the military Bibles. Here's what's handed out to the military. Everybody that is enlisted in the Army and is going to boot camp is given one copy of this.
Amen.
Yep.
So that maybe it would impact their lives. Unfortunately, there was a man who wasn't impacted by that. And as a Marine, he got placed into the brig for whatever he did, and I'm not sure. But he said all in the cell with him was a Gideon Bible. You know, probably the ones that were stripped like this. He said, he just kept on it, and he said, really honestly, I had nothing else to do. So he opened up that Bible, and he opened it to the book of Daniel. And he said, in the book of Daniel, he read where Daniel said he prayed 3 times a day to God.
Yeah.
And he said that meant nothing to him. So he says he went on, and then later, he started doing that. And he says life ever changed then. And he said then it changed his life too. He gave himself over to God. Now he's Dr. Joe Sutherland. And I think he preaches in Kentucky too.
Amen.
Another one that I like to talk about, and one of the more interesting ones. Two twins, Kevin and Keith. When you hear this testimony, and I don't think I can tell as well as you hear it from them firsthand, but Kevin talks about him and his brother when they were growing up as teenagers. He said, we were self-proclaimed atheists. He said, and I don't mean just because of the term. He said, we actually attended conferences, meetings, everything that we could do to dispute the Bible. He said, when we got old enough and we went to college, he said, we were walking to class one day, and he saw people dressed in suit and ties, and I don't have one of the college Bibles, but they're green, and that's the ones we hand out to the students at college. And he said, I came across someone, and he said, this guy said, young man, would you like a Bible? He said, unfortunately, I would never mention anyone, but what I said to that man was really horrible. And as he went on throughout that day, he said, he kept on seeing more men passing out Bibles. He finally came to the conclusion he needed to take one, act like he was reading it, so they'd leave him alone. So he took that green Bible, and he said he opened it up, and next thing you know, he read it. And he said he kept reading. And for the rest of the day, he didn't even go to class. He read the whole Bible, then he gave himself over to God. But he had a problem with it. Because he said, now that he has become a Christian, how does he tell his twin brother about this? And he said, if you knew anything about my twin brother, he is a man I've never lost an argument with, ever. He said, it is something I had to approach him about. So he said, I went up to his room, I opened the door, and then sure enough, there was his brother kneeling at his bed and had a green Bible in his hand too.
Amen.
And he turned around and told him he wanted to tell him about Jesus, which he had just found. Another man, Elliot. Elliot was a man, I think we were talking about someone on drugs, alcohol, earlier in Sunday school. Same kind of man. Wife has left him. His family's gone. And he said he had checked in to the hotel that night with the direct purpose of ending his life. He said he had nothing else.
Right.
He said he saw a Gideon Bible like this sitting there, and he said, well, all I did was I didn't want any part of it, and I just hit it, swapped it to the floor. He said it opened up, and he said he looked down, he read it, and said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you.
Amen.
He said, those words meant more to me at that time in my life than any other words did. He said, it changed me, and today he is a pastor. And he thanks God for the Gideons and the Bible safe place out there. The Gideons have one purpose, and I said it earlier, we're dedicated just to giving Bibles to people. Okay? You know, it might take five or six of them before the word sinks in.
Yeah.
But it's five or six well spent. How can you help the Gideons? Well, first and foremost, it's prayer. We were talking about prayer earlier, and it is one of the things that I believe wholeheartedly that impacts people's lives.
Amen.
One story I've told the last couple of churches, and I'll be honest with you, Sherry don't even know the story. And Sherry's looking at me weird now. One night, you see Matthew back here with us. Matthew's had lots of medical problems. And we've struggled. It's been hard throughout life. One night we got sent to Boston. You remember that, Sherry? And he was on a machine called a CPAP machine, which then, when he had his heart surgery, it was going to make it very not nice. It was going to be very ugly. You kind of get at the end of your road, and sometimes you forget to pray. But it should be the most important thing you are doing. But, you know, you're all human. Well, that first night we're there, we're sleeping, and I was just laying there thinking, and I prayed. And I said, God, I don't know what to do, but, you know, your will.
All right.
The next morning we woke up, and that CPAP machine was off, wasn't it, Sherry? And it helped us tremendously.
Amen.
Prayer throughout the community has impacted our lives greatly. Even when we forget to, our Christian brothers and friends stick behind us and pray for us.
Amen.
And I think sometimes people won't talk about churches, but that's one of the more important things while we do go to church. Gideon cards. I didn't see out there, I didn't look, but a good way to support the Gideons is through Gideon cards, like sympathy cards, giving Bibles. donations in their names instead of flowers so we can pass out more Bibles.
Right.
And also donations through churches like you. Donations through churches help us greatly to even give more Bibles. Right now, there's only 5 countries that support the whole rest of the world, are self-sufficient, and help overcome it. And we are one of them. And I think, Brother Wade, you said earlier today, if we have $15 in our pocket, we're doing better than how much percentage of the world out there? Yeah, but it's incredible.
Yeah.
So giving out one little piece might help a little bit more.
Right.
Once again, I want to thank everybody for having us. I won't take any more of your time up, Brother Wade.
All right.
And I believe that's it. Also, there is one last thing. We are always seeking other people to join Gideon's. We're looking for qualified people or business, that work in the businesses, and women. We're composed of 300,000 people right now. 100,000 are women, 200,000 men, giving out a lot of Bibles.
Amen.
We always could use a few more.
Amen.
Okay. Thank you all very much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, a lot of y'all may not know this name. I'll throw it at you anyway. David Bergen. You'll know who it is in just a minute. He got saved because someone threw a Gideon Bible in his cell and he opened it up. Psalms chapter 34, verse number 6, and that verse says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. You know that man by the name Son of Sam. That's his real name. I seen a video of his testimony of his life in a maximum security prison while we was waiting for him to number all the people and get them all ready for us to go out and try to plead with them to consider God's mercy. And David Bergen, something like that. He had just got discharged from the military, just got out of the army, went to a bar like most young men. He was a young man. He was like 18 or so. Went to a bar. As soon as he got in the bar, two young, very attractive young ladies, one on each side, one on the other side, want to have a good time? Well, yeah. They took him out in the woods. This is his testimony. Went out in the woods. They were having a satanic ritual out in this woods. He said, I was immediately possessed by spirit. From that day on, he said, no one could help me. And he killed people for Satan. He said a German shepherd told him to do it. There wasn't no German shepherd. We know who it was. Prince of Higher Era. But he was possessed. But he read that one verse. Psalms 34 verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles.
Amen.
That's a tremendous verse.
Yeah.
God's a tremendous scholar.
Amen.
He read that verse and he believed that. His testimony was, he knelt down there and said, God, if you can save a poor man like me out of my trouble, I'd like for you to do it. He got saved, got called to preach. He refuses to be paroled. He said, I want to serve my time. I've done horrible crimes. He said, even though I was nothing but a puppet to Satan, he said, I want to be a preacher for God the rest of my days in prison. I don't want to be paroled. I want to plead with these men in here and tell them about a God that can deliver. I've heard him preach. But he got God on him. I like to see a man stand, got God on him. Amen?
Yeah.
If he got God on him, I get a little something. Amen? Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. Jesus said, thy word is truth. I'm glad these people give Bibles away. But they have to buy them. They buy them. They buy the truth. They don't sell it. They give it.
Yeah.
I appreciate their effort. If you don't have a servant's heart, you won't be interested in getting work. They're true servants. They put themselves at a loss just to be able to get the word of God in somebody's hand. I appreciate what Eric shared with us this morning. I thought I might preach a little bit, but I ain't going to. It's too close to dinner time. I was going to fire down on you.
Preach.
Oh, yeah, well.
Get good spirit here, man.
Yeah, I have to admit, I'm pretty provoked to preach, but I'm sitting there looking at the clock back there, and I'm thinking, we ain't going to get back here probably 11:30 if I fall down on it. And I did have a little thought this morning I was going to share with you, but I want to say I appreciate the Gideons. I appreciate their servants' attitude. They're not seeking glory, not seeking recognition. They're just kind of into shouts. And you see some of the results. That, by the way, that was the Gideon's Bible that they got thrown in that cell where David Burkin was. And he didn't have very good to say about it. I mean, matter of fact, I think he kind of caused that guy to pick up his steps going down through there. But here, a demon-possessed man in a cell in the Word of God. And his testimony was, it just so happened, I opened it up to Psalms 34, verse number 6. And it was sufficient, Linda. It penetrated his callous heart. Yeah. Jeremiah said God's Word is like a hammer for the stony heart. I remember back when I had a stony heart. I remember, boy, I was a man's man. I mean, I have to admit, but I was looking for trouble. I couldn't get enough of it. I still look for trouble, but now I want to try to help. I want to try to put some balm on Gilead. I want to try to pour in the oil and the wine. I want to try to bind up the wounds. I want to try to get them back on their feet. Now, back when I was looking for trouble, I was trying to knock them off their feet. I'm glad that spirit's no more. It's been crucified with Christ. And I appreciate the work and the efforts of the Gideons. I heard good things last night. And, you know, if you don't have a heart for God, you probably wouldn't be interested. But if you got a heart for God, that's what you're interested in. You want to hear some good.
Amen.
You want to hear where somebody's doing some good.
That's right.
Somebody's getting something done. Somebody's wearing some shoe leather out. Somebody's passing the Bibles out. And they're getting some results. That's in the category of Proverbs chapter 25, verse 25. It's cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country.
Amen.
Good to have this young man here. Good to have you here this morning. All right. Well, I have to admit, I'll take back what I said. I may far down here just a little bit. We've got a visitor to come in. That goes into overtime automatically. My pastor always used to tell me, he said, Eddie, anything over 45 minutes is overkill. I won't be that long. I'm like old Mays Jackson. He said all my preaching like good baloney. He said you can cut both ends of it off and it's still good. And good to have this young man with us here this morning. Let's look real quick, and I do mean real quick. Y'all laugh if you want to. But in St. John chapter number 4, I come in this morning, Brother Keith back there was reading St. John chapter 3. And I told him, I said, I had a thought on my heart out of St. John chapter 4. And he said, I'd just done some reading in St. John chapter 4. And he said, I made a few notes, underlined a few places. And I don't know how your Bible looked, but if you look at mine, it's colored and underlined and stuff wrote and dates wrote and everything else. But I want to read about five verses there, St. John chapter 4, starting in verse number 25. And we'll just go for a minute there. We'll read verse 25 down through verse number 30. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he's come, he'll tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak to thee am he. And upon this came his disciples. Boy, it'd been good if they could have waited just a little bit. You know how they, you get something going. I don't know how it is with y'all, but I don't like it when a cell phone goes off or someone comes up, you know, and you got something going. But even with this interruption, he never lost his thought. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man saith, what seekest thou? Oh, why talkest thou with her? Verse 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way unto the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? We'll stop our reading right there. I want to speak just real quickly on find that one. Find that one.
That's right. Amen.
Now, this is kind of a discouraging time. Numbers down. Ain't no, I doubt anybody shout during this message, but if they do, it'd be all right with me. No shouting. No singing to the glory of God. I mean, we was up there last time, they were singing, "How great thou art." I couldn't help myself. I shouted all over the place. But I mean, the one that can make a difference. The one that can bring the whole town down. The one that can fill the pews. The one that'll make a difference. That's why Jesus is here. Now, this woman here, she's an outcast. She's a cull. Life's messed up. She's got more problems than I can number here in 5 minutes. But I want you to know, he had waited for her sitting on Jacob's well. He's waiting because she's coming by that way. Verse 6 says, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the 6th hour. At the 6th hour of the day, nobody's supposed to be coming to get water out of the well. He's way ahead of this woman. He's already there waiting on her. As a matter of fact, buddy, he welcomes her when she gets there. But the Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise in Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 30. And Jesus told his servants, his disciples in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. He said, be ye wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And I'm telling you now, you got to go where they're at. You got to be wise enough. Tell them what they need to know. He talked about those twins and the wind, that twin, that atheist twin. You got to have some wisdom, amen. It takes some wisdom. You gotta know what to say. You gotta know how to say it. I'll probably catch a couple of you off guard here, but you gotta know when to say it. The Bible said a wise man studieth things. My pastor, he's got one of the best attributes of any man I know. You asked him a question, Gayla, and you'll think he didn't hear you. And you'll ask it again. I've been asked it 3 times. He's got some wisdom. He knows when to answer. He knows how to answer. I just usually let it rip, pay, or tip. I have to admit, been a few times I wish I had waited. You know, sometimes somebody won't get it all the way out. You know, you answer before you really hear what they're really going to say. You might know what they're going to say. And you're anxious before they even get all the way through what they're saying. But either one of souls, it takes some wisdom to win souls. And the Lord, in an effort to catch her, he's sitting on this well waiting for this woman. She shows up. And when she shows up, you look down to verse number 16 through verse number 18. They're having a conversation. And the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that thou saidest thou, in that saidest thou truly. You know, her life is messed up. And I've met a lot of people, and their lives are messed up. Brother Vernon mentioned earlier this morning about a man had everything in the world going for him. But he just still got messed up. You can have all the wealth. You can have all the knowledge. You can have all the things necessary for life, and you can still get messed up without the help of God. And then you can take a messed up life, and you can take Jesus, and you can get it cleaned up, amen. Yeah. I don't know what her visitor's name is. What's your name, everybody?
Brian.
Good to have Brian here with us this morning. I wasn't expecting to have no visitor, but I'll tell you right now, I'm always glad to see him come in, amen. I might run them off, but I don't mean to. I'll just tell you right now, I'll tell you the truth. First time I come to church, I heard the truth. Made me mad. I wanted to hit the preacher in the mouth. I was mad at my wife. I thought she's told him everything I've ever done. And when we get home, she's had it. But when God got done, I couldn't hit her in the mouth. I couldn't whoop her. I had to sit there and take my medicine. Amen. He told me the truth. Amen. That's one thing about God's Word. You'll hear the truth if a man's preaching the Word of God. Her life was a mess. She's living with someone else's husband. How dare her? That's adultery for what it's worth. I've been trying to talk a little bit to some of the people I work with. I've been giving them some verses. You know, I've been whetting their appetite a little bit. I'm building up. These women I'm talking with, they're like this woman. How bad can it get, Brother Eddie? Well, she's loud hearing this, I ain't gonna say. Anyway, their lives are messed up too. And I haven't really gave them any difficult verses. I've been giving them the honey and the sugar. But in Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 4, the Bible says marriage is honorable in all. That ain't talking about same-sex unions. You see, God said in the beginning, it's male and female. There's a reason for that. God does things right. I know they try to mar and mess everything up, but there's a few things you can't mess up. You can't mess up the Word of God. You can't mess up the God of the Word. I'm telling you, buddy, He's just too steadfast, or He's just too almighty. He's not mighty, He's almighty. Yes, man.
Amen.
But God, He said, you do err not knowing the Scriptures, for in the beginning He made a male and female, and for this cause shall a man leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall become one flesh.
Amen.
Marriage is honorable at all. Beds are undefiled.
He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing.
Amen. This brother been reading his Bible. Yes, sir. You're right, brother. First not good mentioned in the Bible. God looked down and saw a man that was lonely. He said, it's not good for a man to be alone. I'll go down. I'll make a helpmeet for him. Done the first anesthesiology. Done the first surgery. Opened the flesh. Closed it back up. Took a rib from that rib. Made a woman. Presented to that man. That man looked at that woman and said, she shall be called woman. For she's taken out of man. This is bone of my bone. And flesh of my flesh. God done the very first marriage ceremony. Adam said, I do, I do, I do all the way. No competition, no makeup needed, no paint necessary. I don't know what she looked like, but it looked pretty good to Adam. Amen.
Yeah.
He's right. He shall find the wife, find the good thing. The prettier wife's a gift from God. Bible said she'd do him good all the days of her life, not evil. Her price far above rubies. Can't even afford a wife.
It's 150 songs.
That verse says marriage is all in all. Beds are undefiled.
Amen.
But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. That's why God says, get something done before you stand before me. Now this woman's life's a mess. She needs to get something done. First of all, he got her to confess what she got messed up. He said, you answered right. You ain't got no husband because you've had five and the one you got now is your own. She wants to talk about something else. You ever get over there, you know where you're talking about somebody's sin. They say, let's talk about something else. That makes me feel uncomfortable. She's living in adultery and she needs help. If you look at verse number 10, Jesus had told her, he said, woman, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. That's why she said, sir, give me this water. See, he got her thirsty, and then he showed her why she couldn't have the living water, because you got to confess your sin, and come out of your sin, and receive mercy and grace and salvation of God, and then you can have that living water, amen. She's thirsting after the things of the world. I did too for 34 years. I thought if I got this, I'll surely be happy. I thought maybe if I get some more of these, I'll surely be happy. It did for about 3 seconds. Then I had them payments to make. You know how that is. I thought, man, I wish I thought twice about buying that. Me and my wife been married 39 years. I'm still making payments, but I'll tell you what's I still got the best in the deal, amen. Hallelujah. She's wanting to live in water. Now listen, you can have a little water. You just need to do one thing. You need to say, I'm a sinner. A hell-deserving sinner. I need to be forgiven of my sins, and I need to be saved, and you can have that living water. Jesus said, except you repent, you all likewise perish. Repent means you need to say, I'm sorry. I've been living the life of a sinner. I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. I want to go see Jesus one day. Yeah. Not as my judge, but as my Savior. Amen. Bible said that Jesus Christ, He's going to judge the world. Matter of fact, He's going to judge the quick and the dead. That means the living and the dead. They're all going to stand before Him, great and small. Kings, queens, books are going to be opened. They're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It's going to be a sad day for a lot of people. And I'll tell you right now, you can have living water. He offered it to her. He said, woman, if you knew who it was talking to you, you'd ask me and I'd give you a drink of living water. It'll satisfy. You won't be looking to try this and try that. Most people in life go through life and they're never satisfied. They'll trade a 40 in for 220s. Some guy been married 40 years. Married a younger woman. Made his pastor mad, but he didn't say nothing about it. He kept pumping the oil. He said, what do you think about my new wife? He said, I'd really rather not comment. He said, no, I really would. I'd like to know how you feel about her. He said, I'd really rather not have any say. I'd rather not elaborate. He was so persistent, Brother Melvin. He got that pastor on a bad day. And this guy threw a racehorse. He's real wealthy. Had more money than sense. And he said, what do you think about my wife, preacher? He said, well, you want to know the truth? I believe I'll just tell you. You trade a thoroughbred for a jackass. Turned around and walked off. Hell now, he said, I got your point. I got your hint. Yeah, sometimes it's a bad trade. Amen. But she's thirsting. Verse 7 is the reason she's coming to the well. She's thirsty. She's coming to this well to get a drink of worldly water. And here's living water sitting on the well. And it's a well within itself. A well springing up, amen. I'm telling you, she's got a chance right here to get satisfied with the water of life. He said, if you knew who I was, you'd ask me a drink. And I would give you living water. Water of this world, it can't satisfy the thirst of the soul. Jesus said in John chapter 7, verse 37, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. If you thirsty this morning, Lord offer you a drink of living water. The song said about Psalm 34, verse number 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I ain't never had no living water. I don't know what I'm missing out on. And I'll tell you one thing, I didn't just get a sip, I got in the buffet line. And I've been supping with Jesus 26 years now. Long ago, I got, I wish I'd got in sooner. But He offers this water. He offers this living water. He offers it to all. It comes from Him. He's the only one can give it. But He offers it. He said, I'll give it to you. If you're thirsting, come to me. He can satisfy that thirst. Yeah, Eric, I didn't know I had a void here. I didn't know it. I didn't know I wasn't whole. I thought I was man's man. But when God saved me, I became whole. And there was no more a hunger in here for nothing other than Him. I do hunger and thirst after God. You can have all the God you want. Somebody said, Brother Ed, how can I have more God? Let more of the world go. You can have all the God you want. You want a double hand of God? Let one hand go of the world and get both hands on God and hold on. I tell you, you got a hold of a good thing. Lay hold on eternal life. Yeah. Natives over in Africa, they know how to catch monkeys. They'll take a 5-gallon metal barrel. Mm-hmm. The monkeys are looking at them. They go out there and they find a tree with a fork in it. And they'll tie this metal barrel in that tree, and this monkey's over like me, scratching his head, saying, wonder what they're doing down there. Then this guy reached in a bag, pulled out a handful of peanuts and put them in that metal barrel and walk off. That monkey says, peanuts in the metal barrel. And he's leaving. That monkey goes over to Galen, puts his hand down there in that barrel, gets a handful of them peanuts, and he can't get his hand out. Because he won't open that hand up. Here comes this guy with a ball bat. And this monkey's having a fit. He's trying to get that hand out. Here comes the guy with the ball bat. He's going to knock his brains out. That monkey ain't got enough sense to let them peanuts go.
Exactly right.
Listen, if you want more of God, you're going to have to let something go.
Right.
I promise you this, you'll never have no regret. The more God you get, the more blessings you're going to have, the more joy you're going to have, the more peace you're going to have. I'll tell you right now, you'll start seeing through His eyes. You'll start hearing through His ears. Things will start making sense. You'll look around and say, I know why that's like it is. Because you got more God in you. Things will start making sense. I got to wrap this up. I'm looking at the clock back there. Jesus gave an invitation to thirsty men. He said, come to me and drink. John 7:37. He came to her to give her a drink that would satisfy her thirsty soul. And that's why she left her water pot to go tell others about the living waters mentioned there that we read earlier, verse 28. And let me say this. Find this one. That one brought the whole town down. I remember one time we had a woman get saved over at Bethel Baptist Church. She filled one whole side of the church. I believe she really got in. They could tell something was different about her. And she couldn't deny what God had done. And there wasn't no way to deny the change in her. And I don't know if her family members came out of curiosity to find what in the world was going on. But I do remember this. I remember her crying and saying, thank you, Jesus. My family's in church. I remember saying, thank you, Jesus. My family's getting saved by that one. It'll make a difference. It sure will. And that's what Jesus did in this little statement here. He's waiting for one. Oh yeah, let the multitudes. I can't count the number of the people that attend these mega churches. I don't know their status. You don't neither. God knows, Paul said. I'll tell you one thing. God's interested in that one that's nearest hell. He's interested enough, he wants to know who will go tell them about Jesus that they might get saved. Just like this one, when she got the living water, brought the town down. And God bless you, brother. Just like this one, if you look here, verse number 29 through 30. Come see a man which told me all things I ever did. Is not this the Christ? What a testimony. Verse 30 says, Then they went out of the city and came to him. One brought the town down. If we can find that one, we might be able to use that church benefit again. If we can find that one, we might be able to get the offering up again. We can find that one, we might be able to feel the tears again. If we can find that one, we might have a whole lot more people here. But I'll tell you what, it's got to be the one God chooses. Every now and then I pick one out and I think, boy, that'll make a good one. Boy, that'll make a good one. And I'll go over there and be honest with you, buddy, this ain't nothing to work with. This woman's life was messed up. I believe it was Jesus that said this. I think He said, who'll love me the most? He has been forgiven of much, or He has been forgiven a little. You get that one, you know him. And they've been forgiven a little, and they love a little, and they might hear maybe one Sunday a week or something like that. You find that one's all messed up. Not only do they know they get saved when they do, but you know it because there's such a difference. Because God came in a big way and they had an extreme makeover and makeup smelled it out, wherever it's a woman or like little Kaylee right here, little tender-hearted Kaylee, them two tear trails still on this altar. Or you see a man come in and he had hair down his waist and the next time you see him, you give him a visitor card. He said, I'm a man that got saved her last Sunday. Notice what it is. Find that one, and it'll make a difference. Father, we thank You for the privilege to draw from the Word of God, from the wells of life. Lord, we offer it this morning. I don't think there's going to be no big line of people come up here and get a drink from the well. But Lord, I would to God, lost people this morning would realize you're offering living water to them. And I wish they wouldn't scoff. I wish they wouldn't drag their feet or even study about the matter. I wish with haste they'd run down here and say, Lord, give me that water that I thirst not. Give me that water that satisfies. Give me that water that saves a lost sinner. Well, whatever you do, we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
That's 15 minutes. That's as short as I can do, I believe.
177.
Everybody stand, please. If you got a need this morning, maybe you just want to come this morning and say, Lord, thank you for giving me that living water. Or maybe you come this morning and say, Lord, I need that living water. Whatever your need is, won't you come this morning?
Oh, to Jesus I surrender.
Bless you, Brother William.
To Him I freely give.
You ought to come this morning. Say, I surrender. Not my will, but thine be done. I'm counting this morning. If you're ready to surrender, He'll give you that living water. If you don't surrender all, you won't never get nothing. When you surrender all, He becomes all. He's your all in all.
I surrender.
We got two people on altar, and I thank God for both of them. What a godly example. On a beautiful day like today, they ain't riding four wheels, they ain't teaching. They're on altar. I don't need no one to pray, and I just keep saying, Lord, thank you. Build a good day. Build what I feel. Maybe they're here this morning for praying for someone they know that might end up in hell if somebody don't prevail in prayer on their behalf. I don't know. Maybe you got somebody this morning that's on your heart heavy right now. Won't you just come up here and say, hey, Jesus, I want to make mention of someone that needs to get saved, needs to get some help. Won't you come this morning? Bless you, Brother William. Are you doing this?
I surrender all.
Why not? What are you holding on to? Is it worth it?
Lord, I pray you keep your hand on me. Pray, Father God, you already know that what you have me do. I pray you with all his might and all his strength, your glory. Bless
you.
Amen. Amen, Sophie. It's all right. She's saying she's satisfied. She wished you'd get satisfied. She's saying you don't know what you're missing out on. You don't know how much better you'd feel. Let Jesus take His rightful place.
When I get up in the morning, I say, God, while I'm sweating, don't let me fall. And He does. He's never failed me yet.
Amen. God bless you, Sophie. I appreciate everybody here this morning. And anybody got a word on your heart? If you do, we'll take a minute.
Who said that? I got a song. Can I sing a song?
Hold on just a second. We'll definitely let you do that. Let me see if anybody's got a word on their heart. We got some lost people here this morning. Has anybody got a word on your heart this morning? We're going to let this brother sing a song. And we got food back in the back. We'd like to ask everybody to stay. We're going to have fellowship back here in the back. And come on up here, brother.
Brother, I want to tell you, I got a lot of things on my heart. I got some things on my heart, too.
Yeah.
God called me preaching when I was 13 years old. I've read that Bible 53 times in my life. I'm only 40 years. I'm 39 years old. Like 6 months.
Amen.
Like 6 months being 40. Probably one of the worst lives any man could ever live.
Sound like a man God could use.
I feel. pretty rough. I was scared when God called me to preach. I was terrified. Because I don't feel worthy of the calling. Because I'm not worthy, I can't meet these standards.
Same here, brother. Same here.
I can't meet. I can't. I feel so short when he asked me to do this.
Yeah.
But, you know, I try.
I'm receded.
The preachers. I've been to a lot of churches and a lot of preachers. They run me down, you know, because I want to preach what's in that book. I don't want to tickle nobody's ears because this is wrong time to be tickling people's ears.
You're right.
You know, I don't want to have blood on my hands.
Same here, brother.
You know, when I said if I ever became what the Lord wanted me to do and I ever could get a church to preach in, I said that I would preach it the way it's supposed to be preached. I preached it the way he wanted me to preach it, not the way I wanted to preach it, the way he wanted me to preach it.
Precept on precept, line upon line, here a little there.
The whole word. I mean, you know, I preach the whole word, not just part of it. You know?
Amen.
But, you know, I've had a lot of preachers run me down. They run me out of church.
That's in the normal, brother.
Because I catch them. I catch them and, you know, and I stand up and correct them, you know. I mean, I shouldn't do that. But God said if you don't, open rebuke is better than secret love.
True.
That's what the Bible
says. Rebuke a wise man, he'll thank you for it.
Yeah, thank you.
I've read the Bible a few times, there too, brother.
And you understand where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
You know, and I've been sent here by a man who knows the Bible real well. Carl Richardson sitting over here this morning.
Hey, man.
Because Carl, he's a good fellow. Me and him have been friends for over 30 years, you know, and I love him. But I just wanted to come and see because I was seeking God real hard this morning. I got up this morning and put my clothes on. I said, God, where can I go? Because I can't find no place where the word's being taught.
Let me sing your song, brother. I'll tell you why. I want fellowship with you. Okay. I'm going to let these people go back here and eat a bite. And I'm going to stay here with him. I want fellowship with this fella. He got just exactly what I got.
We're going to have to sit around and play that and let the people give to the
Okay. These people going back there. We're going to let them go on back there and eat a bite. I want to sit up here and talk with this brother a little bit. I appreciate him coming in. I appreciate the spirit, what he felt, what he said. Brother Byron, if you would please ask the blessings on the food back there, and I'll go ahead, and I'll be back there in a minute.
Brother Eddie,
we got an offering. Thank you, Brother Melvin.
We always
Yeah.
To buy Bible, good. That's what it's all going for.
Thank you.